Welcome back to the Deep Dive, where we cut through the noise, bypass the jargon, and get straight to the insights you need to be truly well-informed. Today, we're taking a deep dive into an industrial powerhouse that, surprisingly, often flies under the radar for many of us, but whose products quite literally power vast swaths of the global economy. Atlas Copco AB. We've got a fascinating stack of research in front of us. I mean, everything from detailed investment reports to recent company financials and strategic analyses. Our mission is to extract the most important nuggets of knowledge about this diversified Swedish conglomerate. We're going to explore its surprisingly robust business model, dissect its competitive landscape, and understand how it's deftly navigating the ever-shifting currents of global industry.
What's truly fascinating here is that we're looking at a company with an incredible history, founded all the way back in 1873, And it has not only survived but thrived, managing to maintain a premier position in diverse high-tech industrial niches for over a century and a half. That's quite something. The core question for us today, and really for anyone trying to understand what makes this business tick, is whether its formidable competitive advantages and strategic alignment with some of the biggest long-term growth drivers are enough. Enough to overcome significant cyclical headwinds we're seeing in the market, and crucially, to justify its often premium market valuation. We're going to unpack exactly what makes Atlas Copco such a unique industrial giant and, well, what challenges lie ahead.
Okay, let's unpack this industrial giant, Atlas Copco. When you first hear the name, you might not immediately picture the scale, because this isn't just one business, is it?
No, not at all.
It's actually a highly decentralized group operating globally in about 180 countries. So, what are the core pillars of their operation? How do these distinct parts fit together under one umbrella?
Right. The company's structure is absolutely key to its agility and sustained success. Atlas Copco is fundamentally built around four distinct business areas. And what's remarkable is that each one is a leader, or very near the top, in its respective niche. Think of it less as a monolithic corporation and more like four highly specialized, high-performing businesses,
Okay.
each with its own market focus, but all leveraging, shared resources and a common culture of innovation. The first, and arguably the most crucial pillar, is Compressor Technique. This is Atlas Copco's largest and most profitable segment, and for good reason. They provide a comprehensive range of solutions for compressed air, which is essentially the fourth utility in most industrial settings, right after electricity, natural gas, and water. It's everywhere.
The fourth utility, I like that.
Yeah. But we're not just talking about basic air compressors you might imagine in a garage. This segment deals with incredibly sophisticated industrial gas and process compressors, and also the advanced air and gas treatment equipment that goes with them. It serves an incredibly broad array of industries, from general manufacturing, think everything from car factories to food processing plants and heavy-duty process industries like mining, and even the oil and gas sectors. A critical focus here, and it's something we'll keep coming back to, is their relentless emphasis on energy-efficient solutions. This directly translates to significantly lower total cost of ownership for their customers, which is a massive competitive advantage in today's world.
So compressors are their financial backbone, powering a huge, diverse range of industries, almost like the invisible infrastructure behind so much of what we consume. What's the next big one that stands out?
Next up, we have Vacuum Technique. Now, when you hear vacuum, you might initially think of, well, a household appliance, right?
Exactly, Hoover.
Yeah, but this is industrial-grade, mission-critical technology. Atlas Copco is a global leader in high-tech vacuum products, exhaust management systems, valves, and related solutions. This technology is absolutely essential for some of the most advanced industries in the world. Its primary, and as we've seen recently, most cyclical market, is the semiconductor industry.
Ah, okay, chips.
Precisely. Imagine the incredibly clean, precisely controlled environments needed to produce the microchips that power everything from your smartphone to advanced AI vacuum technology is foundational to that. It's like creating a perfectly sterile, airless bubble, essentially.
Wow.
But it's not just semiconductors. This segment also serves chemical processing, where precise atmospheric control is vital, food packaging to extend shelf life, and even high-end scientific research labs. The sources highlight that its performance is very tightly linked to the capital expenditure cycles of global semiconductor manufacturers. That makes it perhaps the most volatile, yet strategically important part of the business.
High tech and, as you noted, high volatility. Okay, that makes sense. What about when industries need incredibly precise tools for assembly and manufacturing?
Exactly. That brings us to Industrial Technique. This business area focuses on advanced industrial tools and solutions designed to significantly enhance customer productivity, ensure quality, and provide flexibility on the factory floor. Their product portfolio includes state-of-the-art industrial power tools, complex assembly systems for things like engines or aircraft wings, and even machine vision solutions, which are critical for automated quality control and inspection.
Machine vision, okay.
Yeah. Its main markets are global heavyweights like the automotive and aerospace industries. Think of modern assembly lines for cars or aircraft, where precision, speed, and automation are paramount. Atlas Copco's solutions here are integral to those processes, effectively enabling the kind of advanced industrial automation that defines modern manufacturing.
So they're not just selling tools, they're selling productivity and precision. Makes sense. And finally, for the more immediate on-the-ground industrial needs, what do they offer?
That would be Power Technique. This segment offers a robust range of portable and industrial equipment designed for mobility and demanding performance in the field. This includes mobile compressors, which you might see humming away at a large construction site, powerful generators for backup power or remote operations, light towers for safe nighttime work, and various industrial and portable pumps.
Right, the kind of stuff you see on building sites.
Exactly. The demand for these products is often tied directly to large-scale infrastructure projects, civil engineering works like building bridges or roads, and the specialty equipment rental market. So when you see a major construction project underway almost anywhere in the world, there's a good chance Atlas Copco equipment is on site, quietly getting the job done.
That's a truly diverse portfolio, spanning everything from microchip factories to construction sites. Okay, but how do these segments actually stack up financially? Where does this industrial giant really make most of its money?
That's a crucial question for understanding Atlas Copco's financial DNA. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the Compressor Technique segment is absolutely the financial backbone. It consistently generates the largest share of revenue and also boasts the highest operating margin. This tells us a lot about its superior competitive strength and the underlying health of that business.
Right.
Let's look at the numbers for the financial heartbeat. Revenue and profitability by segment. For the full year 2023, Compressor Technique generated a substantial 44% of the group's total revenues. Almost half.
Wow, 44%?
Yeah. And what's even more impressive, and a key insight for you, is its operating margin of 24.5%. An operating margin, for those less steeped in financial terms, is essentially how much profit a company makes from each sale after covering its direct costs, but before accounting for interest and taxes. So 24.5% is, well, very strong.
Very healthy.
Very healthy indeed. And in Q1 2024, it maintained this impressive performance with an even slightly higher margin of 24.8%. This kind of consistent, superior margin really indicates a dominant competitive position, likely due to strong market share, advanced technology, and a very sticky, high-margin service business that's incredibly hard for competitors to replicate.
That's a significant chunk of the business and clearly incredibly profitable. What about the others? How do they contribute to the overall financial picture?
So the Vacuum Technique segment was the second largest contributor. It accounted for 25% of revenues in FY 2023, and it also commanded a very strong operating margin of 22.4%. It dropped just slightly to 21.8% in Q1 2024. While financially powerful, remember, this is the segment most exposed to the inherent cyclicality of the semiconductor industry. So its profitability, though high, can fluctuate more.
Right, that semiconductor volatility. Got it.
Then we have Industrial Technique bringing in 16% of revenues in 2023 with a robust 21.7% operating margin, holding steady at 21.9% in Q1 2024. This segment, focused on advanced automation and precision tools, shows strong profitability driven by the high value and productivity enhancements its solutions deliver.
Still very solid margins there.
Absolutely. Finally, Power Technique contributed 15% of revenues with a solid 19.3% operating margin in both FY23 and Q1 2024. While still very healthy for an industrial business, this slightly lower margin compared to the other segments may point to a more competitive market environment.
More price pressure, maybe.
Potentially, yes. Particularly in the construction and rental equipment sectors, where pricing power might be a bit more constrained. Overall, for the group total, FY 2023 saw revenues of 172,664 MSEK, that's millions of Swedish krona, the reporting currency, with a consolidated operating margin of 21.5%. This then edged up slightly to 21.8% in Q1 2024. These figures underscore the company's exceptional ability to maintain high profitability across its diverse portfolio, even amidst, challenging market conditions.
That breakdown really hammers home the importance of compressors. But where in the world are they actually making these sales? Is their revenue base well diversified geographically, or are there any concentrations you, our listener, should be aware of?
This raises an important point about market concentration, which is critical for understanding risk. While Atlas Copco is undeniably globally distributed, their revenue has a significant weighting towards Asia. This has been a powerful engine of growth for decades, but it also introduces a notable risk if that region experiences economic headwinds.
Okay, so how significant is that Asian exposure?
Looking at their global reach and local impact, geographic distribution for FY 2023, Asia-Oceania was indeed the largest region, contributing a substantial 37% of total group revenues.
Over a third.
Yes. And this remained broadly consistent into Q1 2024. Europe followed at 28%. And North America was close behind at 26%, with South America and Africa, Middle East making up the rest. Now, this heavy reliance on Asian markets, particularly the industrial health and investment trends in China, introduces a significant risk concentration for Atlas Copco. Our sources explicitly cite softer demand and persistent uncertainty in the Chinese market as a key headwind in recent reports and earnings calls. This demonstrates a direct link between the economic trajectory of that region and the company's near-term prospects. So while geographical diversification across continents is certainly present, the specific weighting towards Asia, especially China, means economic shifts there can have a magnified impact on the overall business, something you need to keep in mind.
So they've got this diverse portfolio across different geographies, but with a big focus on Asia. That makes sense for growth, but also for risk. What about their actual business model? Are they just selling equipment and moving on, or is there something else, like a recurring revenue stream that helps stabilize things through the ups and downs?
This is where it gets really interesting, and it's a cornerstone of their long-term stability and success. It's often overlooked when people think of heavy industrial companies.
Yeah.
A fundamental aspect of their model is the strategic balance between initial equipment sales and a robust recurring service business. This isn't just a side hustle. It's absolutely critical to their financial profile and, I'd argue, one of their biggest competitive advantages.
Okay, service. How big a part is that?
For fiscal year 2024, equipment sales were approximately 63% of revenues.
Yeah.
But, and this is the crucial part, the service business accounted for the remaining 37%, nearly 40%.
37% from service, that's huge.
It is. Now, what did that service business entail? It includes everything from essential spare parts and routine maintenance to complex repairs, sales of consumables like filters, and even specialty equipment rentals. Why is this critical? Because it provides a stable, predictable, and importantly, high margin revenue stream. This recurring revenue acts as a powerful buffer, significantly mitigating the inherent cyclicality of the capital equipment market, where demand for new machines can swing dramatically with economic conditions. Here's the insight. Even when customers defer buying new equipment, they still need to maintain their existing, critical Atlas Copco machinery to keep their own operations running. It's a very sticky business.
So it's not just a one-and-done sale. They build an ongoing, indispensable relationship. That's smart. But what's the biggest challenge in nurturing that kind of relationship globally? And how does it connect with how they actually make these machines? Are they doing everything in-house?
That's a great question, because maintaining that global service network is a massive undertaking, but it's central to their value proposition. And complementing this service-oriented model is their asset-light manufacturing approach.
Asset-light?
Yes. They focus on producing core performance-critical components in-house. These are the proprietary parts that define the technological edge and quality of an Atlas Copco product, the secret sauce, if you will.
Okay.
However, they strategically outsource non-critical parts to a vast network of business partners. Our sources indicate that purchased components make up about 75% of their total production cost.
Three quarters outsourced.
In terms of cost, yes. This strategy gives them significant operational flexibility. It allows them to scale production up or down relatively quickly in response to shifts in market demand, without being burdened by excessive fixed costs that could become a liability during an economic downturn. It's a very efficient way to manage production capacity while maintaining tight control over quality and proprietary technology, allowing them to remain agile in a volatile industrial landscape.
So Atlas Copco is a diversified industrial giant with this crucial stabilizing service component, but they operate in the broader industrial machinery market. What does that market actually look like in terms of size and growth? And how does its inherent nature impact a company like Atlas Copco?
The global industrial machinery market is truly vast. I mean, a multi-hundred billion dollar industry. Some estimates for 2023-2024 range anywhere from $656 billion up to a staggering $1.2 trillion, depending on exactly how you define and scope it.
Wow, that's a huge range, but either way, massive.
Massive. This isn't a niche market. It's absolutely foundational to the global economy, touching nearly every sector. When we talk about its growth, forecasted compound annual growth rates, or EGRs, which is the average annual growth rate over a specified period for the entire sector, generally fall within the 4% and 9% range.
Pretty solid growth. What's driving that? It's largely fueled by ongoing industrialization in emerging economies, massive global investments in infrastructure, and the continuous need for technological modernization across mature industries. It's a market driven by, well, the very progress of civilization. To put Atlas Copco's specific market position into context, a key subsegment within this giant industry is compressed air systems. This market alone is valued at about $26.6 billion in 2024 and is projected to grow at a CAGR of around 4.7% through 2033. And here's the key insight for you. Atlas Copco is a major leader in this particular space, meaning they're riding a substantial wave.
Okay.
However, this industry is inherently cyclical. This is a fundamental characteristic that shapes the performance of all players, including Atlas Copco.
Right, the boom and bust. Exactly. Demand for new equipment is closely tied to broader economic indicators. Think global GDP, industrial production indices, and manufacturing purchasing managers indexes, or PMIs. When economic uncertainty looms, companies tend to defer capital expenditures on new machinery, which directly impacts equipment sales for companies like Atlas Copco. Understanding this cyclicality is key to assessing their performance. It's an ebb and flow, not a straight line.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Beyond these inherent economic cycles that define industrial machinery, what are the big mega trends that are shaping this market right now? And critically, how is Atlas Copco positioning itself to not just survive, but truly ride those powerful waves into the future?
Yes, the mega trends. Atlas Copco's strategy is explicitly and, I think, intelligently aligned to capitalize on several powerful structural shifts. These are not just fleeting trends. They are fundamental long-term changes driving demand across global industries, creating strong tailwinds for the company.
Okay, like what?
The first, and perhaps most impactful for their bottom line, is energy efficiency. This has dramatically evolved from a secondary consideration to a primary purchasing driver for industrial customers.
A huge deal now.
Absolutely. Given the significant and rising operational costs associated with industrial energy consumption, coupled with mounting regulatory pressure to reduce carbon emissions globally, customers are increasingly prioritizing equipment that minimizes energy usage. For example, technologies like variable speed drive or VSD compressors, which Atlas Copco has pioneered, can reduce energy consumption by over 30%. Sometimes even more.
30% is massive for industrial energy use.
It is. And what's truly fascinating here and a critical insight is that this dynamic can even create countercyclical demand.
Countercyclical.
Well, customers might invest in new, more efficient equipment, not because they need additional capacity, but purely for the tangible and often rapid return on investment generated by the energy savings. This creates a source of demand that is less correlated with a broader industrial capacity utilization cycle, providing a potential buffer during economic downturns. It's smart business wrapped in environmental responsibility.
That's a powerful incentive for customers saving money and the planet simultaneously. What about the smart factory revolution and how their equipment fits into that?
Right. The second megatrend is automation and digitalization, often referred to as Industry 4.0. The global manufacturing sector is undergoing a profound transformation towards smart factories, where machines are connected and data-driven.
Everything talking to everything else.
Pretty much. This shift fuels demand for intelligent, connected, and automated machinery. The integration of the Industrial Internet of Things, or IoT, which refers to the network of intelligent sensors and devices communicating within an industrial setting, is central to this. It enables equipment to provide real-time data on its performance, which can then be leveraged for remote monitoring, process optimization, and predictive maintenance. This essentially transforms a piece of equipment from a standalone asset into an integrated data node within a customer's entire production ecosystem. Atlas Copco is very much at the forefront here, turning their machines into data-generating powerhouses.
So they're not just selling machines, they're selling intelligence and optimization. And how does sustainability fit in beyond just energy efficiency? Is it a core part of their strategy or more of a, compliance thing?
That brings us to the third key trend, sustainability. For Atlas Copco, this focus isn't just about corporate responsibility or compliance. It's a core business driver that creates new market opportunities and enhances their brand value. Beyond pure energy efficiency, there's a growing demand for solutions that support broader sustainability goals. This includes things like oil-free compressors, which ensure air purity in sensitive applications like food and beverage production, pharmaceuticals, and electronics manufacturing, where even a tiny drop of oil could ruin a batch.
Critical in some industries.
Absolutely critical. It also extends to equipment that facilitates the circular economy and is manufactured with a reduced environmental footprint itself. This holistic approach means they're not just selling green products, they're thinking about the entire life cycle and impact.
So these megatrends are huge tailwinds. But in a competitive global market, what makes Atlas Copco so dominant? What are their moats, those durable competitive advantages that protect their leading position and allow them to command premium prices?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And Atlas Copco holds a truly formidable position as a global market leader. Its leadership is protected by significant and durable competitive moats. These are high barriers to entry that make it exceptionally difficult for new competitors to challenge their position. For example, in the critical U.S. air gas compressor manufacturing industry, Atlas Copco commands an estimated 20.0% market share. Some analyses suggest its compressor division is about twice the size of its nearest competitor. That gives you a sense of scale.
20% is a big slice. So what are these moats specifically?
First, there's technology and R&D scale. The substantial and continuous investment required to remain at the forefront of compressor, vacuum, and industrial tool technology is a major hurdle. This isn't a business where you can simply copy a design. It requires deep engineering expertise, highly specialized manufacturing capabilities, and constant innovation. Atlas Copco dedicates significant resources to staying ahead.
Just hard to keep up technologically.
Exactly. Second, and equally powerful, is their brand and reputation. Decades of consistent performance, going all the way back to 1873, have built an unshakable reputation for quality, reliability, and low total cost of ownership. This allows Atlas Copco to command premium pricing because customers are willing to pay more for equipment they know will perform reliably over the long term, demand less maintenance, and cost less to run through its entire lifespan. It's about trust and proven value.
Makes sense. Pay more up front for less hassle later.
Precisely. Third, and perhaps the most powerful moat, is their global sales and service network. This is truly extensive, spanning approximately 180 countries with direct operations in most. This network doesn't just facilitate new equipment sales, it actively locks in customers through long-term service agreements for maintenance, parts, and repairs. This creates an incredibly sticky and profitable recurring revenue stream that is exceptionally difficult and costly for any new player to replicate at the same scale and density.
That's service network again.
It's huge. Think about the infrastructure, the thousands of highly trained personnel, and the deep local relationships required. It's an immense, decades-long investment. And finally, the evolution toward digitalization is reinforcing this service network advantage, transforming it into a powerful data-driven moat.
A data moat? How does that work?
Our sources indicate that Atlas Copco has over 120,000 connected compressors globally, and these machines are generating more than 150 data points per second.
Whoa, that's a lot of data.
It's a torrent. This means the company is amassing a vast real-time repository of operational data. This data isn't just for show. It's analyzed to refine predictive maintenance algorithms, enhance product development, and offer incredibly valuable data-driven insights to customers, helping them optimize their operations. This creates a powerful virtuous cycle. More connected machines generate more data, which improves services and products, attracting more customers, and so on. A competitor without this massive historical and real-time data set would be at a significant disadvantage in developing equally sophisticated and effective digital service offerings. It's a moat that literally deepens with every machine sold and every second that passes.
That direct service network and data-driven moat sound incredibly powerful, creating significant barriers for new entrants. But no company, not even Atlas Copco's vacuum technique segment, operates in a true vacuum. Who are their main rivals across these diverse business areas? Who are they bumping up against?
Right. Understanding the competitive landscape is crucial. Atlas Copco competes with a range of global and regional players, but their core advantages often allow them to differentiate effectively and maintain leadership.
So who are the big names?
In the compressor technique and power technique segments, the most direct and significant global competitor is Ingersoll Rand. This modern company was formed through a 2020 merger of Gardner Denver with Ingersoll Rand's industrial segment, creating a really formidable player in compressors, pumps, and blowers.
Ingersoll Rand, okay, big competitor.
Definitely. Other notable competitors in the compressed air space include the privately held German company Kaiser Kompressoren and Solaire, which is part of the Hitachi Group. When it comes to portable power and generators, Atlas Copco also finds itself competing with industrial giants like Caterpillar and Cummins, companies with vast global footprints themselves.
So serious heavy hitters there, many of them household names. What about the high-tech vacuum side, which you noted is so critical for semiconductors?
For vacuum technique, this high-tech segment competes with specialized vacuum technology providers. Key rivals here include German-based firms like Pfeiffer Vacuum, which is now part of the Bosch Group, and Bosch Vacuum Solutions itself. It's worth noting, actually, that one of the leading brands in this very segment, Edwards, is owned by Atlas Copco itself.
Oh, interesting. They own one of their main competitors, effectively.
Well, Edwards is a leading brand they acquired, yes. It demonstrates their strategic presence and leadership through a history of smart acquisitions in that space.
And their industrial technique segment, where they're enabling automation and precision manufacturing. Who are they up against there?
In industrial technique, which covers industrial power tools, assembly systems, and quality assurance, Atlas Copco competes with a diverse set of companies. Major competitors here include Stanley Black & Decker, a huge name in tools.
Right, everyone knows them.
And Illinois Tool Works, or ITW, which is a highly diversified industrial manufacturer known for its own operational excellence. These companies also have strong brand recognition and extensive product portfolios, so it's definitely a competitive arena.
And finally, for the pumps within power technique, are they facing different kinds of competitors?
Yes. Within its industrial and portable pump product lines and power technique, Atlas Copco competes with specialized fluid handling companies, such as the Swiss-based Sulzer AG. So what you see is that across all four segments, they face capable and established competitors. It's not like they have the field to themselves. However, their market position remains incredibly strong, which is really a testament to their differentiators.
Given this formidable lineup of competitors, what truly sets Atlas Copco apart? What are their unique advantages that help them maintain market leadership in such diverse fields? Is it just one thing or a combination?
It's definitely a combination. Their market leadership is sustained by several key strategic differentiators that powerfully reinforce those competitive moats we talked about. These are the elements that allow them to not just compete, but to lead.
Okay, what's number one?
First is technological leadership. The company consistently invests approximately 4% of its revenue back into research and development. This isn't just R&D for the sake of it. It's focused on innovations that deliver tangible benefits to customers, like enhanced energy efficiency, lower lifecycle costs, and increased productivity. Our sources point to their pioneering work in variable speed drive, or VSD, compressors, which significantly reduce energy consumption. They also have smart connected solutions like the Electronicon controller and the Smart Link monitoring platform, which provide real-time data and optimization capabilities. This continuous innovation keeps them at the cutting edge and offers a clear value proposition that's hard to ignore.
That R&D investment sounds like a major advantage that most smaller players just can't match. What else do they do that truly sets them apart? Another crucial differentiator is their global direct service network. As we discussed earlier, this vast global footprint in approximately 180 countries is a cornerstone of their strategy. Unlike many competitors who might rely more heavily on third-party distributors for sales and service, Atlas Copco's direct model allows them to build incredibly close long-term customer relationships.
More control, more direct feedback too, I imagine.
Exactly. This structure is vital for driving new equipment sales. But even more critically, it captures that significant and highly profitable stream of recurring aftermarket revenue from parts, maintenance, and service. It creates a sticky customer base that's incredibly hard for competitors to poach. It's a strategic choice that builds deep customer loyalty. Then there's their premium brand positioning. The Atlas Copco brand itself is synonymous with high quality, reliability, and durability. This isn't just about perception. It's built on decades of proven performance in the field. This reputation enables them to compete effectively on the total cost of ownership over the product's entire lifecycle, rather than just on the upfront price. Customers know that an Atlas Copco product will likely last longer, perform better, and be more energy efficient, justifying that initial premium. It's an investment, not just a purchase.
And finally, how does their internal structure help them stay ahead of these competitors, that decentralized model you mentioned?
Yes. Their decentralized and agile operating model is also a key differentiator. The group is structured into around 23 autonomous divisions. This empowers local management teams to respond quickly and effectively to very specific market conditions and customer needs, wherever they are in the world.
So decisions are made closer to the customer.
Precisely. Imagine a local sales team working directly with a customer who mentions a gap in the market or a new niche technology. Because of this decentralized structure, that local team can actually identify a potential acquisition target, evaluate its fit, and quickly escalate it up. This ensures the acquisitions are always deeply strategic and integrated, not just financial plays dictated from headquarters. This bottom-up approach to innovation and M&A fuels their sustained innovation and operational excellence, allowing them to remain entrepreneurial despite their considerable size.
Those differentiators certainly paint a picture of a well-run, strategically positioned company. Now, let's talk about the numbers. How does all this translate into their financial performance? And crucially, how do they compare to their peers when we look at the bottom line?
This raises an important question. Can they truly maintain those premium margins and exceptional returns? A comparison of operating margins reveals Atlas Copco's consistently strong profitability. For the full year 2023, Atlas Copco's group operating margin was 21.5%. This compares quite favorably to competitors like Ingersoll Rand, whose Industrial Technologies and Services segment reported an adjusted EBITDA margin, that's earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization, a slightly broader measure of operating profit of 28.2% for the same year.
Oh, higher for Ingersoll Rand on that metric?
On that adjusted EBITDA metric, yes. But EBITDA adds back depreciation and amortization, so it's not a perfect apples-to-apples with Atlas Copco's EBIT margin. Illinois Tool Works, ITW, and another strong peer, reported a consolidated operating margin of 25.1%. So while direct comparisons always need a bit of caution due to differences in accounting metrics and variations in business mix, it's clear that Atlas Copco operates in the top tier of industrial profitability.
Okay, definitely among the leaders.
Absolutely. This premium margin profile is a strong testament to the company's robust competitive moats we just discussed. However, here's a crucial insight. It also presents a potential vulnerability. In a severe or prolonged economic downturn, customers facing capital constraints might prioritize lower upfront costs. This could potentially shift demand to good enough competitors, exerting pressure on Atlas Copco's pricing power and market share, and challenging its ability to maintain that margin advantage.
It's a delicate balance between premium quality and market sensitivity.
That's a good point about the balance between commanding a premium and potential vulnerability. But let's look at their overall financial health over time. How have they been performing in terms of growth and stability? Have they kept those margins up?
Atlas Copco has shown a remarkably consistent and impressive track record of profitable growth over many years. Looking at their revenue and profitability trends over the past 5 years, well, they've been robust. Group revenues expanded from 103.8 billion Swedish krona, MSEK, in 2019 to 172.7 MSEK in 2023. That's a compound annual growth rate, or CAGR, of approximately 13.5%. 13.5% AGR. That's excellent for a company this size, especially through recent years.
It really is, especially navigating recent global disruptions. This growth has been a healthy mix of organic expansion, strategic acquisitions, and effective pricing strategies. What's even more striking is the stability of their profitability. Their operating EBIT margin earnings before interest and taxes has consistently remained in a tight and elevated range, standing at 21.1% in 2019 and holding strong at 21.5% in 2023.
Wow, incredibly stable margins.
Incredibly stable. This resilience is particularly impressive given the economic disruptions from the COVID-19 pandemic and subsequent inflationary pressures we've all experienced. It speaks to a very disciplined and well-managed operation.
That's a strong, consistent performance. But beyond just profits and revenue, what about how efficiently they use the capital they've invested? You hear a lot about returns on capital. How do they score there?
This is where the company truly shines and distinguishes itself. The most telling indicator of Atlas Copco's quality and management's effectiveness is its return on capital. The return on capital employed, or ROCE, which is a powerful way to measure how effectively a company generates profits from the capital it invests, has been consistently strong. It was 30% in 2019 and maintained that impressive 30% in 2023.
30% ROCE, that's very high.
Extremely high for an industrial company. Similarly, their return on invested capital, or ROIC, another key profitability metric, has been exceptional, peaking at 24.7% in 2023. To put this in perspective for you, our sources indicate their weighted average cost of capital, or WACC, which is essentially the average rate the company pays to finance its assets, considering both debt and equity, is around 8.0%.
So earning 25-30% on capital that costs them 8%?
Exactly. The ability to consistently generate returns on capital that are far in excess of their cost of capital is the fundamental driver of long-term economic value creation. It's a clear testament to a superior business model and highly disciplined capital management. They truly know how to put their money to work effectively.
Those are truly impressive financial metrics indicating fantastic capital efficiency. How does management decide where to put all that capital? What's their strategy for investing back into the business to fuel future growth versus returning value directly to shareholders?
Management has demonstrated a very clear and disciplined capital allocation framework, carefully balancing reinvestment for growth with attractive returns for shareholders.
Mm-hmm.
This is crucial for long-term value creation. It's not just about earning the returns, but also about how you deploy them.
Right. So what's the breakdown?
For capital expenditures, CapEx, that's money spent on physical assets like property, plant, and equipment, their needs are moderate, which is a direct benefit of that asset-light manufacturing model we talked about.
Ah, less need for huge factories.
Precisely. Most of their CapEx investments are strategic, directed towards expanding production capacity in key growth markets like China and India, and enhancing their innovation capabilities for new products and technologies. In 2023, their CapEx was 5,803 MSEK, a significant but measured investment that supports future growth. Acquisitions are a core pillar of their growth strategy. They have a remarkable and consistent track record of what they call bolt-on acquisitions.
Bolt-ons, meaning smaller, targeted ones.
Exactly. The sources note 185 acquisitions in the two decades leading up to 2021 and 17 completed in 2023 alone. These aren't huge, transformative mergers. They're typically smaller, strategic purchases designed to enhance technological capabilities, gain access to new market niches, or expand their service reach. While these are usually smaller, the significant outlay of 12,123 MSEK in 2022 demonstrates management's willingness to execute larger, value-accretive transactions when the right strategic opportunity arises. They're not afraid to spend when it makes sense.
So disciplined growth through M&A is key. What about direct returns to you, the shareholders? How do they approach that? Dividends, buybacks?
In terms of shareholder returns, dividends are a clear priority. Atlas Copco follows a shareholder-friendly dividend policy, aiming to distribute approximately 50% of its earnings.
50% payout ratio target.
Yes. The proposed dividend for 2023 of SEK 2.80 per share represents a payout ratio of 48.6%, clearly aligning with their stated ambition and continuing a trend of growing distributions over time. As for share repurchases, these are primarily used to offset dilution from the company's long-term employee incentive programs rather than as a primary tool for large-scale capital return. This reinforces their focus on reinvesting for sustainable growth, first and foremost.
Okay, so dividends are the main return mechanism. And how does their balance sheet look after all this? Are they loaded with debt?
No, not at all. Their cash flow generation and balance sheet strength are incredibly robust. They are strong cash generators, with operating cash flow of 23,192 MSEK in 2023. While large acquisitions can sometimes depress reported free cash flow in a single year, the multi-year trend clearly shows the underlying strength of their cash-generating power. Critically, they maintain a very strong and flexible balance sheet. As of Q3 2023, their net indebtedness was conservative, resulting in a net debt-to-EBITDA ratio of just 0.6.
0.6? That's very low leverage.
Very low. This low level of leverage provides substantial capacity to fund future growth initiatives, execute further acquisitions, and withstand economic downturns without financial distress. It's a foundation built for resilience and future opportunity.
It sounds like a financially robust company with a disciplined approach to capital, consistently generating high returns. So what's next? What are the key strategies and initiatives they're pursuing to fuel future growth and stay ahead in this dynamic industrial landscape? Where do they go from here?
Atlas Copco's long-term growth strategy is indeed multifaceted. It's about carefully blending organic innovation with that disciplined acquisition program we just discussed, all explicitly aligned with those powerful industry megatrends that are reshaping global manufacturing. They're not just reacting, they're trying to shape the future.
Okay, let's break that down. What are the organic levers? How are they growing from within?
Let's first look at their organic levers. A cornerstone of this strategy is continuous innovation and new product development. Their consistent R&D investment, amounting to approximately 4% of revenue, isn't just about incremental improvements. It's focused on developing solutions that directly enhance customer productivity, improve energy efficiency, and lower the total cost of ownership. For example, they've recently introduced a new generation of highly efficient oil-free screw compressors and new products under their Chicago Pneumatic brand, directly addressing critical customer needs and tightening regulatory pressures. They keep pushing the technology forward.
So innovation is driving new sales. But what about their vast existing customer base, that huge installed base you mentioned? How are they extracting more value from that?
That leads perfectly to the second organic lever, service business expansion. This is a top strategic priority. By increasing the service penetration of their vast installed base of equipment globally, getting more service contracts on existing machines, Alice Copco not only generates that stable, high-margin revenue stream, but also deepens those crucial customer relationships.
Makes sense. Lock them in further.
Exactly. It creates a virtuous cycle of loyalty and repeat business. You're not just buying a machine, you're buying a long-term service partner, ensuring optimal performance for years. And thirdly, geographic penetration. They continue to identify significant growth opportunities in emerging markets. As these regions undergo industrialization and massive infrastructure development, there's a sustained long-term demand for Atlas Copco's products and services. They're actively expanding their footprint and local capabilities in these areas, tapping into new sources of demand.
And their digital strategy, how is that contributing to growth? And more importantly, customer value, this smart factory stuff.
Their digital edge. Transformation and connectivity is truly at the forefront of the industry. Atlas Copco is a leader in the smart factory trend, with, as we said, over 120,000 connected compressors already in the field. These IoT-enabled machines, meaning they're equipped with sensors and connectivity, provide a continuous, real-time stream of operational data, which is analyzed through proprietary platforms like SmartLink.
So they're crunching all that data. For what purpose?
Well, this data allows both Atlas Copco and its customers to monitor equipment health proactively, optimize performance, and implement predictive maintenance strategies. The goal here is to maximize uptime and efficiency for the customer. It essentially transforms Atlas Copco from a simple equipment provider into a long-term productivity partner, leveraging data for continuous value. It's about being an integral part of the customer's smart ecosystem.
That makes a lot of sense, especially with the global focus on efficiency. How does sustainability play into their growth plan beyond just being a responsible company? Is it truly a profit driver for them?
Absolutely. For Atlas Copco, their focus on sustainability is a profit driver, not just a corporate responsibility tagline. The global push for decarbonization and energy efficiency creates a powerful tailwind for Atlas Copco's most advanced products.
Because customers need more efficient machines now.
Precisely. As energy costs rise and environmental regulations tighten worldwide, the business case for customers to invest in highly efficient equipment becomes overwhelmingly compelling. This directly supports demand for their premium energy-saving solutions. Furthermore, the broader transition to a low-carbon economy, think the production of electric vehicles, batteries, and solar panels, creates entirely new and rapidly growing end markets for their specialized compressor and vacuum solutions. They're enabling the green transition.
So they benefit directly from that shift.
They do. And this dynamic actually creates a self-reinforcing growth cycle for Atlas Copco. External pressure for sustainability drives demand for their innovative, energy-efficient products. The sale of these products expands their vast installed base, which in turn fuels their high-margin service business. The strong cash flow generated from these services is then intelligently reinvested back into R&D to develop the next generation of sustainable technologies, further strengthening the company's technological leadership and market position. It's a very clever and robust strategy where doing good aligns perfectly with doing well.
And those bolt-on acquisitions we mentioned earlier, how do they fit into this comprehensive future growth picture? Are they just opportunistic or part of a deeper strategy?
The M&A playbook. Disciplined acquisition strategy remains an integral and continuous part of Atlas Copco's growth model, and it's definitely part of a deeper strategy. It's not random. They have a long and successful history here, with a reported 185 acquisitions completed in the two decades leading up to 2021, and a further 17 in 2023 alone.
Wow, almost 10 a year on average.
Yeah, it's constant activity. Their strategy is highly disciplined, focusing on smaller, bolt-on acquisitions of companies that are either within or very close to their existing core businesses. This allows them to acquire new technologies, gain access to new market niches, or strategically expand their service capabilities without taking on excessive risk. This decentralized approach to M&A also serves as a form of low-risk market intelligence, allowing them to gain a foothold in emerging technologies and adjacent markets without the significant risk and expense of purely organic development from scratch. It's like a well-oiled machine for strategic expansion.
That's a truly comprehensive growth plan, deeply intertwined with major global trends. But, you know, it hasn't been smooth sailing for everyone in recent years. How has Atlas Copco, with all these strengths, navigated the complex macroeconomic environment of 2022-2024? What were the real-world challenges, and how did they respond?
Right. And what's fascinating here is how effectively management has navigated recent industry challenges. Despite strong competitive moats, no company is entirely immune to macroeconomic shifts. Atlas Copco provides a compelling case study in resilience.
What were the main hurdles? Supply chains. Inflation.
Yes. First, they faced significant supply chain and inflationary pressures post-pandemic. The industrial sector as a whole experienced widespread disruptions and soaring input costs. Everyone felt that. However, Atlas Copco acknowledged these challenges, but reported successfully normalizing lead times over the course of 2023. Their ability to maintain and even expand their operating margins during this period is a testament to their operational resilience and, critically, their strong pricing power.
They could pass on the costs.
They could, and they did, effectively, without losing significant market share. That's a huge competitive advantage, showing the value customers place on their products.
So they managed those external shocks well, which is impressive. But what about specific market weaknesses that hit them hard? You mentioned China and semiconductors earlier.
Exactly. This brings us to two of the most significant headwinds they faced: China market dynamics and the semiconductor downturn. In China, weaker demand and persistent economic uncertainty negatively impacted performance, particularly in segments highly exposed to the region's industrial investment, such as vacuum equipment for the rapidly growing battery, solar, and EV sectors. This highlights the risk of their geographic concentration we discussed earlier. A slowdown in one key market can have a tangible impact.
Okay, so China was a drag. And semiconductors.
Then there's the semiconductor industry. Their vacuum technique business is heavily exposed to this highly cyclical market. In 2023, this market entered a sharp downturn as major chip manufacturers significantly reduced their capital expenditures. This had a direct and severe impact on Atlas Copco, with their 2023 annual report noting that the market for vacuum equipment weakened significantly, leading to a substantial 20% organic decline in orders for that specific segment.
20% organic decline? That's a huge hit to one segment. Ouch.
It is. And this exposure, while offering long-term structural growth, clearly introduces significant short-term volatility, a key variable for you to consider.
How did the rest of the business fare in balancing that out? Were other areas also weak?
It was mixed. We also saw shifting end market demand and geopolitical factors adding to the complexity. Demand across other end markets was quite varied. While areas related to the energy transition and automotive electrification showed strength, others softened. For example, in Q1 2024, the Power Technique segment was impacted by lower investment from equipment rental companies in North America. Geopolitically, the company noted an increasingly polarized global environment and, tangibly, currency fluctuations, particularly a strong Swedish krona, SEK, created significant headwinds.
Ah, the currency effect again?
Yes, negatively impacting both reported revenues and profits when converting global earnings back to SK. Critically, however, and here's where the value of diversification truly shines, the severe downturn in the vacuum technique segment in 2023 was largely offset by continued strength in other areas. For instance, there was robust demand for large industrial compressors, often driven by energy transition projects, and their service business showed consistent 16% growth throughout the period.
16% growth in service, even then?
Even then. This truly underscores the benefit of Atlas Copco's diversified business model across different end markets, technologies, and revenue types, equipment versus service. This diversification is a critical risk-mitigating feature that helped them weather what could have been a much more significant storm for a less diversified, more specialized company. It's a real testament to their strategic planning.
The diversification certainly proved its worth in a challenging period, shielding the company from a bigger hit. Now, let's look at the people steering the ship. How does Atlas Copco's leadership and corporate governance contribute to its consistent performance and ability to navigate these complex waters? Is it just the structure, or is management key?
That raises an important question about the sustainability of their operational excellence. And I'd say the quality and stability of their leadership are absolutely key pillars supporting the company's long-term strategic execution and consistent financial performance. It's not just about the machines, it's very much about the management.
Okay, tell us about the team.
Looking at their leadership team and track record, Atlas Copco's group management is composed of seasoned executives with deep industry and company-specific experience. A prime example is Wagner Rego, who assumed the role of president and CEO in May 2024, succeeding Mats Rahmström. Mr. Rego is a long-tenured employee, having previously served as the president of the Compressor Technique business area, which, as we discussed, is the company's largest and most important segment.
So promoting from within, from their core business.
Exactly. This transition is emblematic of Atlas Copco's strong promote-from-within culture. An examination of their executive team's biographies reveals that nearly all senior leaders have spent the majority of their careers at Atlas Copco, rising through various roles. This practice ensures a deep institutional understanding of their unique decentralized operating model, core technologies, and customer-centric culture. This internal talent pipeline is a significant, albeit intangible, strategic asset that fosters leadership continuity and reduces the execution risk often associated with external senior hires. They really know the business inside out.
So stability and deep knowledge from within are clearly key to their operational consistency. What about their overall approach to governance and how they interact with shareholders? How is that structured?
Their corporate governance and shareholder policies are well-defined and designed to support their decentralized business model while ensuring long-term sustainable growth. They have a robust framework with a board of directors overseeing the organization and dedicated committees for audit, remuneration, and nomination. Standard stuff, but well executed. Their policies reflect a strong alignment with shareholder interests. Management has consistently demonstrated a highly disciplined approach to capital allocation, which is evident in the company's consistently high returns on capital we discussed earlier.
And the dividend policy.
Right. Furthermore, Atlas Copco maintains a clear and shareholder-friendly dividend policy, with that stated ambition to distribute approximately 50% of its earnings to shareholders, a target they have consistently met or exceeded. Finally, their operational execution and transparency are, frankly, exemplary. The management team has an established track record of maintaining high and stable profitability through various economic cycles, and even in the face of significant headwinds like inflation and supply chain disruptions. Their communication with the investment community is notably transparent and detailed, providing clear segmentation of financial results and a candid assessment of market conditions and the near-term outlook in their reports and webcasts. This builds trust and confidence among investors. They don't seem to hide much.
That leadership stability and clear governance are definitely reassuring indicators of a well-managed company. But for investors, the big question is always, what's the price tag for all this quality? How does their current valuation stack up in the market? Are you paying too much for this excellence?
That's the critical puzzle piece for any investor, isn't it? The current valuation absolutely reflects Atlas Copco's status as a high-quality industrial leader, consistently trading at a premium to the broader industrial sector. This premium is indeed warranted by its strong financial track record, but it also implies high market expectations.
Okay, so what are the multiples telling us?
Let's look at their current and historical trading multiples. As of mid-2025, the stock's trailing 12-month TTM, price-to-earnings PE ratio, has been in the range of 25x to 28x, closing 2023 at 26.0x. For the TTM enterprise value to EBITDA, multiple, which is enterprise value, a measure of a company's total value divided by its operating profit before depreciation and amortization, it has recently traded in the 16.5x to 18.0x range, though it was a bit higher, 20.1x at the end of fiscal 2023.
So still elevated, but maybe off of absolute peaks.
Exactly. It represents a moderation from peaks seen in, say, 2021, but remains elevated for an industrial company. Their forward dividend yield, based on the proposed 2023 dividend, is approximately 2.0%. Not super high, but growing.
So clearly a highly valued company. How does that compare to others in the industry? Are they alone in that premium tier, or is it common for their kind of business?
When we conduct a peer group valuation comparison, we see that Atlas Copco's valuation is indeed in a similar premium tier to other high-quality diversified industrial peers. For example, Ingersoll Rand's EBITDA was around 17.8x, and Illinois Tool Works, ITW, was around 18.7x. So that 16.5x to 18x range for Atlas Copco puts them right in the mix with these other top-tier industrials. The market views these companies as a group of high performers deserving of a premium.
Okay, so it's not an outlier, but it's definitely priced for quality.
Precisely. Now for the crucial valuation considerations. This premium valuation is a direct reflection of Atlas Copco's superior business quality, best-in-class profitability, exceptionally high returns on capital, and the stability afforded by its large, high-margin service business. These factors certainly justify a higher multiple than the average industrial company. However, here's the insight you need. This valuation also leaves little room for error. The market is pricing in continued strong operational execution and successful navigation of current cyclical headwinds.
The market expects them to keep delivering.
Exactly. Any significant deviation from these expectations, whether from an operational misstep, a more severe than anticipated downturn in key markets like semiconductors, or a failure to maintain pricing power, could lead to a derating of the stock's valuation multiples. For an investor, it means carefully weighing this proven quality against a valuation that offers a limited margin of safety. Given the diverse nature of its four segments, each with different growth profiles and cyclicality, a sum of the parts, SOTP valuation framework, could also be relevant here.
Meaning valuing each part separately.
Yes. Where, for instance, the high-growth vacuum technique segment might command a higher multiple on its own than the more mature and cyclical power technique business. Adding those up might give a different perspective on overall value.
So it's a high-quality company, but the market knows it and is pricing that in. What are the main risks that could impact this impressive performance? And what are the potential catalysts that could either accelerate growth or cause challenges for Atlas Copco moving forward? What should you be watching out for?
This raises the important question. What could potentially derail this trajectory? Or, conversely, what could make them outperform? A comprehensive risk assessment is crucial for you. We can break these down into several categories.
Okay, let's hear them.
First, market and cyclical risks. The most acute cyclical risk, as we've hammered home, stems from the vacuum technique segment's heavy dependence on the semiconductor industry. The 2023 downturn, with that 20% organic decline in orders, clearly demonstrated how a single market's capital expenditure cycle can impact the group's overall organic growth. Beyond this specific risk, as a capital goods manufacturer, Atlas Copco's equipment sales are fundamentally linked to the health of the global economy and broader industrial investment. A widespread economic recession would inevitably lead to reduced demand across all four business areas. That's just inherent to the business.
And what about their global footprint in terms of risk? We talked about their reliance on Asia. Still a concern.
Definitely falls under geographic and currency risks. With Asia, and particularly China, representing the largest geographic segment contributing 37% of total revenues, the company is highly exposed to the region's economic performance and geopolitical landscape. A protracted slowdown in Chinese industrial activity would present a material risk to the group's growth prospects.
Can't escape that China exposure.
No. Additionally, Atlas Copco reports its financials in Swedish krona, SEK, but generates the majority of its revenue in other currencies. This creates both translation risk, affecting the reported value of foreign earnings when converted back to SEK, and transaction risk, which can impact operating margins directly if currency movements are unfavorable. A strengthening SEK, for instance, can compress reported margins, even if underlying operational performance remains strong, as foreign currency revenues translate into fewer SEK. It's a headwind they often mention.
So a strong krona isn't always good news for the reported numbers. What about the day-to-day competitive landscape and the risk of someone disrupting their technology?
Then we have competitive and operational risks. While Atlas Copco is a market leader, it faces strong competition in all its segments. In an economic downturn, increased price competition could erode the company's premium margins. There's also the ever-present risk of technology disruption. A competitor could develop a new technology that renders existing products obsolete, necessitating continuous and significant investment in R&D to maintain their technological edge. You can't stand still.
Always looking over your shoulder.
Right. Furthermore, their global and asset-light manufacturing model relies on a complex network of external suppliers. So supply chain and input costs remain a risk, as disruptions or cost increases can impact production schedules and profitability, even if they've managed it well recently.
And finally, any other broader risks from operating globally, perhaps regulatory or environmental?
Yes. Regulatory and environmental risks. Atlas Copco's global operations subject it to a wide array of legal and regulatory frameworks, from environmental regulations and trade sanctions to anti-corruption laws. While increasing environmental standards actually represent a significant business opportunity for their energy-efficient products, non-compliance with any of these regulations could result in substantial fines and reputational damage, big multinational complexity.
Okay, quite a list of risks, but what about the upside? What could really make them outperform?
Now, let's look at the other side of the coin for you. What are the key catalysts for performance that could drive them higher? For outperformance, we could see a faster-than-expected and sharp cyclical recovery in the semiconductor market. That would significantly boost their vacuum technique segment and likely surprise the market. Another catalyst could be the launch of a truly disruptive new product technology that significantly accelerates the energy efficiency replacement cycle across industries, something that forces customers to upgrade faster.
A must-have innovation.
Exactly. Or a large, strategically compelling, and value-accretive acquisition could expand their market reach or technology base in a way that unlocks significant new value, though they tend towards smaller bolt-ons.
And the downside catalysts. What could really knock them off a course?
Conversely, potential catalysts for underperformance include a deep and prolonged global recession that severely impacts industrial capital spending across all segments, truly hitting their equipment sales harder than currently expected. A sharp and sustained appreciation of the Swedish krona, as we mentioned, would create significant margin and earnings headwinds beyond what's already factored in. Evidence of market share loss to a key competitor, perhaps due to pricing or a new rival technology, or a major operational failure, or a poorly executed large acquisition that damages the company's stellar track record of disciplined capital allocation, would also be a significant negative catalyst. It's really about weighing these possibilities against their proven strengths and current valuation. #outro.
So what does all this mean for you? We've really taken a deep dive into Atlas Copco today. We've looked at its specialized business segments, its truly global footprint, its impressive financial prowess, and that strategic alignment with major industry trends like energy efficiency and digitalization. It's pretty clear why this company commands a premium valuation in the market.
Indeed. While Atlas Copco operates with powerful competitive moats that service network, the brand, the tech, and has a management team with a proven track record of navigating complex environments, its premium valuation requires continuous operational excellence. There's not much room for error. You've seen how its diversified model helped it weather recent storms, like the semiconductor dip, but its significant exposure to that very cycle, and of course the Chinese market, remain critical variables you want to watch closely going forward.
Ultimately, Atlas Copco is a fascinating case study of an industrial leader that masterfully balances long-term structural growth drivers with short-term cyclical volatility. It's a company deeply embedded in the mechanics of global industry, quietly powering progress behind the scenes, yet constantly innovating and adapting. You might not see them, but they're there.
And that's the core of it, isn't it? Understanding how these industrial titans manage to stay at the forefront. It's not just by focusing on the fundamental, unchanging needs of industry, but also by proactively embracing and shaping the evolving megatrends that are defining our future. They're playing the long game.
Something to mull over as you go about your day. As industrial processes become increasingly smart and interconnected, how might Atlas Copco's data-driven moat remember those 120,000 connected compressors generating 150 data points per second? How might that fundamentally reshape not just their own business, but the entire value proposition for industrial equipment across the globe? Will the machine itself eventually become less important than the intelligence it generates and the productivity it unlocks? Keep diving, keep learning.